All right. Anybody glad you're here this morning? God is good. There's always something to praise him for, no matter what kind of week you've had or what you're going through. And the thing is that I love just about God is he's just big enough to meet us wherever we're at. And so whether you've had the greatest week of your life or the worst week of your life or you're somewhere in the middle, I'm just glad that we serve a God that's able to, he doesn't change because of us. Thank goodness, right? He doesn't get distracted like we do. And so we are jumping into a new teaching focus this morning. If you have your Bible, I want to encourage you to turn to Luke chapter 10. If you use the Bible app, you can open that up and then hit your menu button and events, and you can find the notes and stuff for related to the message is loaded in there as well if you want to follow along with that. But so we're starting this new focus called Distracted, and I thought this might be a little appropriate for us to talk through because maybe one of us in here struggles a little bit with getting distracted. I don't know if this will hit home with anybody, if anybody struggles at all with being, I don't know. But I know for me, there's so much around that is there to distract us. Like we're not lacking in having things that can pull our attention away. So when I think about a definition of just the word distracted or distraction, it's pretty simple as this. It's just shifting our focus from something important to something less important. I mean, pretty simple. That's what it means to be distracted, right? You're locked in on something that you would say this is important, and then something comes along and it shifts your focus towards something that's less important. Then we would call that a distraction. And this happens in all areas of our life. Distracted driving is all around. I don't know about you, but a lot of things don't stress me out or like make me mad. But like when I see a distracted driver, I know it's none of us in this room. So we're going to talk about everybody else this morning. So it's like when I see a distracted driver, it's like I get really irritated, especially like when they're not driving well because they're distracted and like, you know, they cut you off or they're clearly playing on their phone. And then I just like, I want to roll my window down and be like, do you think you're the only person on the road? Like I have two little kids in my car, you know? And then I'm like, well, I was probably distracted just a little while ago, so I better not start chewing everybody else out. Right. Hey, maybe even this morning, anybody guilty? We don't have to raise your hand, but like you were maybe even a distracted driver on your way here this morning, right? I mean, you got kids in the car or somebody and it's like one hand on the wheel, turn around, like buckle up, like quit hitting your brother. And it's like, by the way, we're going to love Jesus when we get to church in a few minutes. So get it together. And, you know, we're just everywhere sometimes. Hey, it happens, right? We talk many, many Sundays about like, hey, let's just be real. All right. We can act like every morning's perfect, especially Sunday mornings, but they're not, and it's okay, right? We get distracted really easy. And so when we start thinking about distractions, though, they hit us in a few different ways. There are people a lot smarter than me that study distractions and like what our brains can actually handle. Say that there's three types of distractions that come at us. One are they're cognitive distractions. So it's just where your mind wanders off and this is really scary because I've caught myself doing this. You probably have too. You drive down the road and then you get like to where you're going and you try to remember driving there and you can't remember driving there. You're like, did I run over a dog? Like who was on the side of the road? How many traffic lights did I go through? Like you just can't replay it in your mind. And it's a pretty scary thing when you realize like I was so zoned out. Like I really don't know what happened, but I got to where I was going. So we have these cognitive distractions that happen. There are visual distractions that happen. If you've ever been in a conversation with somebody and they're talking and it's like squirrel, you know, it's like rabbit and it's like, oh, I can't follow you, you know, and it's just something will get your attention. And so it's something visually will distract us. And then there's manual distractions, which is when we choose to engage with something that will distract us from something else. So that would be like if you ever text and drive, like that would be a manual distraction, something that you choose to do. Now, this is not a public service announcement. We're here to talk about Jesus. So what's the point? When we start thinking about all these things that can distract us and the different ways that we can get distracted, it's important for us not really so much to focus on the distraction as it is what we should actually be focused on to begin with. Because there's so many things in our lives, I mean, whether it's social media, it's schedules, it's other people, it's people's opinions, it's It's work, it's to-do list, it's all these things. They're coming at us from a lot of different angles. And we could take all these things in stride and kind of say, you know what? I'm busy, but I'm not really distracted. Maybe. Maybe not. It all goes back to not necessarily what the distraction might be, but where the focus should be. So as we step into this morning, this is not so much about like, you know, hey, we're anti all these things. You got to quit doing all this stuff and get rid of all these things. It's not about that. But I just want to challenge you to maybe in the midst of doing what you do, open up your heart and see if God might speak into that and maybe begin to show you where there could be a distraction that's taking you away from Him and His desires in your life. Not that these things are bad, but there's a great thing that's there for us, and that's a relationship with Jesus. And it's not just a Sunday morning thing that He wants with us. It's something that ripples into your walk with Him as He interacts with you and the Holy Spirit leads you and you're in relationship with Him. That's something that He wants you to spend time in and experience. And it's not just a Sunday morning thing, but there are all these distractions around us. And so we're going to kind of just step into this and see where God takes us as we walk through this. Because I think coming right out of last month, we spent 4 weeks talking about who does God say that we are. So this is, I think, an appropriate follow-up, because if we are gaining a clear understanding of who God says we are, well, guess what? There's going to be distractions that come right against that every single day. So it's almost a fight to some degree to stay focused on who God says that we are so that we don't become distracted by who the world and maybe everybody else says that we are. And so to begin to think about who it is that we are and how we stay focused in that, I love Psalm 27:4 says this to us. It says, "One thing I have asked of the Lord that I will seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in His temple." Now, here's the thing. That's in Old Testament. We're fast forward in New Testament now, and you read in Paul talking to the church in a couple different places. He says, you know, God used to reside in a temple and a building, but guess what? Now your body is now the temple. That's where God's presence resides. It's inside of you. And to start to wrap our mind around that, and then you read back through the psalm saying that there's one thing that I want, and that's to experience the presence of God in my life. I don't want to be distracted. I want to gaze upon His beauty. I want to walk with Him as I live, work, and play. And I want to experience who it is that God wants me to be. But if we only take it down to being a Sunday morning thing, then we miss it. We miss what God has for us, and we become way too distracted in our lives. So we're going to look at a passage this morning that I think we all can relate to pretty well. It's a lady, there's two ladies in this passage. Now, you might not be able to relate to the lady part, but you can relate to what's going on here. It's Luke chapter 10, verses 38 and 42. And so we're gonna learn from this morning, because I think some of us are maybe, you ever had your computer open before and you got, you know, before you know it, like you look at your, or maybe on your phone, and you've got so many things going on in the background. What happens if you get too many things open on a computer or on your phone at once? What starts to happen? Slows down, right? It starts to bog down and things just don't work. And then seemingly the most basic thing doesn't work like it should. And here's what happens when we become distracted and we get too many things running in the background of our minds. You and I, we start to slow down. We don't make proper decisions. We get distracted and our focus shifts away from something that's most important to things that are less important. So let's look at this passage. It's a great illustration of not only Jesus' heart for us, but how we easily kind of lose sight of this and get distracted. So look with me, Luke chapter 10, verses 38 through 42. It says this. It says, "Now as they went on their way, Jesus entered a village, and a woman named Martha welcomed Him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to His teaching. But Martha was distracted with much serving. And she went up to Him and said, 'Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Tell her then to help me.' But the Lord answered her, 'Martha, Martha.'" I always think Marsha from the Brady Bunch when I hear that, but don't know. Jesus had great foresight, I guess. Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things. But one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion, which will not be taken away from her. Short few verses, very powerful exchange and interaction here between Jesus and two individuals. And I would dare say that most of us in this room this morning are Marthas. You're probably a Martha to some degree. We look at Mary and be like, oh, I'd love to be Mary, but there's so much stuff that I have to do. We get distracted by all those things. So here's my challenge for us as we start this series and we unpack this text this morning is this. It's that we have to live for the important instead of being distracted by the urgent. We have to live for the important instead of being distracted by the urgent. There's a really good book, if you want to read it, it's really short. It's written about 25 years ago called The Tyranny of the Urgent. And it's really good. It's rooted in faith. It's Christian-based. Good perspective on this. But we have to live for the important instead of being distracted by the urgent. Well, what's the urgent? The urgent is all those things that you feel. You wake up in the morning and you feel it. You look at your schedule, you look at your day, and you feel it. You got your to-do list. You've got all these people. You've got all these things, these tasks that have to get accomplished, places you have to go. And you feel that, and that can take over. All right, you probably, like, it's Sunday, and you're like, I didn't want to think about what I have to do, and now this guy's talking about everything I got to do this week. Like, stop, right? But you feel the urgency of things. And what happens is we're just prone to do this. Because we feel those things and they seem, and a lot of those things, if we're honest, like they have to happen. Like you can't just not go to work tomorrow, right? I mean, I guess you could, but it wouldn't be smart. So like we have these things that we have to do. And so we feel those, we feel more connected to those things. But then there's those important things, right? Like people, the people in our lives, our relationship with God, just it's all these things that are important. And here's what happens. If we end up getting too distracted by the urgent, we put less value, unintentionally, on those things that are actually important. Slowly, time goes by, and we realize that we've allowed ourselves to elevate the urgent way over the important. And I think what happens is this. You know, we have Satan works against us, and he's looking to, Jesus says, steal, kill, and destroy, right? And a lot of times we look at that and we're like, oh, Satan's not going to get me into big sin. You know, I'm not going to kill somebody or any of these kind of things. Like I'm good. I'm good to go. And you know what? I don't even think Satan has to get you wrapped up in some, he doesn't have to get you to have an affair on your spouse. He doesn't have to get you to go out and rob a bank or something like that. You know what? I think his greatest weapon right now that he's using against us is busyness. It's just busyness. Because you know what? He says, if I can just get you busy enough on seemingly less important things, guess what you won't spend any time doing? The most important things. So what if his plan is not to like wreck your life with the obvious destruction? What if it's just to get you busy and get you distracted? Where your life starts to revolve around the urgent rather than the important. I think that's maybe part of his plan. I think that's maybe why we feel so busy and so stressed and so strung out. But here, I've got good news. Like, that's not God's desire for you. God wants you to know him in a very intimate and a very real way. But what we have to do is we have to step back and we have to kind of look at the pattern of our life that develops over time and realize that sometimes we allow ourselves to get caught up in this distracted busyness. Even to the point sometimes that you ever felt busy even when you're not busy? It's like I had one of those that just a few years ago, I maybe shared this before, but we were just in this pace just as a family, just going. And we didn't really even have anything going on this evening, this particular evening. We rolled into the garage and like we were getting the kids out of the car. We're like, come on, get in the house. And one of them was like, why are you hurrying us in the house? And I was just like, I don't know. Why are we hurrying in the house? We don't have anything. We're just going to go in here and sit and relax. And it was just like, thank you. Isn't it great how God speaks to our kids sometimes? It's just like, hello, you're wanting to be busy and you have no need to be busy. Like, just slow down. You're so distracted by your sense of having to be busy all the time. You're missing it. And I think that's God's heart. He wants to speak in it. Maybe this is kind of that moment for you where God just wants to breathe in and says, look, live for what's important. Don't be distracted by the urgent. And so we learn a lot here as we're going to jump in and unpack Mary and Martha here in this exchange, because we can really relate to what's going on here. So let's break this down. If we're going to live for the important instead of being distracted by the urgent, here's the first thing I want us to look at. Distractions will cause us to misunderstand what God desires. Distractions will cause us to misunderstand what God truly desires. Because we get to this place of assuming. And we just start assuming. I'm sure you've assumed something before and it's gotten you in trouble, right? And the busier we are, the less we communicate with each other, the less we communicate with God. And that lack of communication leads us to assume that we're communicating because we're busy and we don't have time to actually communicate. And so things don't always work out right. And we all do this. And you can take good steps in this. One thing we did as a family was like we started syncing up our calendars together because we're busy. And so we said, if I got between church stuff and kids' sports and Jennifer's work and all these things going on, we're going to sync up our calendars together. And that was good. But the problem that I do, and this is me all the time, is I'll put something in the calendar, and then guess what I don't do? I don't talk about it. I don't actually communicate. And so it rolls around, and it's like the day of, you know, I stuck something in the calendar, and then it's like, all right, hey, I got to go. I'll see you later. And she's like, what? I'm like, well, I put it in the calendar. And it's like, oh, yeah, don't say that. Don't say that. That's bad. Don't say, I put it in the calendar. Like, no, that's me. That's me assuming we've communicated and we didn't. And that happens, that ripples out into all areas of our life. And this idea of assuming distracts us from the bigger picture of what's going on. We all can relate to this. I mean, just even this happens in all areas of life. Few practical real world examples of this. Charles Duell, he was the commissioner at the U.S. Patents Office. In 1899, he gave his opinion. He makes an assumption here. He says, get this, in 1899, he says, everything that can be invented has been invented. That's the guy that was running our patents office in 1899. Ken Olson, he was an American engineer. He co-founded Digital Equipment Corporation in 1957. 20 years later, in 1977, he said this. There is no reason anyone would want a computer in their home. What? Yeah, you completely missed that one. Henry Ford, you know, when he was cranking out cars and thinking through that whole process, somebody said, well, why don't you ask the people what they want? And he said, if I ask the people what they want, they're just going to say, make horses go faster. So he chose to build cars. Thank you, Henry Ford. We don't have to ride around. Assuming gets us nowhere. We assume because we're distracted. And when we're distracted, we don't think straight, we don't communicate, and we miss out on what's important because we're just settling for what we feel in the moment, in the urgency of the moment. And that's kind of what we see Martha doing here. Martha's here, like Jesus has shown up. It's like, whoa, awesome, Jesus is at my house. I gotta clean. Now, I know some of y'all can relate to that. It's like, Jesus is coming over, I'm gonna clean. And we can kind of be hard on Martha here because it's like, Martha, Jesus is here, she's going to clean, and it's like, come on, Martha, Jesus is here, don't clean. But she's actually doing what was normal in her culture. And so it was customary in that day, if you had an honored guest in your house, then you wanted your house to be clean, much like, you know, some of us today, you may feel like, regardless of who's coming over, like you want your house to be clean. And this really has nothing to do with having a clean house. Like, that's not what this passage is about. But when you look at Martha and she jumps in, the text actually says she was what by serving? Distracted by serving. So that means her serving is causing her to be distracted. But she's kind of working under this assumption, I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing. Culture says a guest comes into your house, you clean house. So she's doing what she thinks she should be doing. And then she even begins to verbalize this, saying, look at what I'm doing. I'm serving, I'm cleaning, I'm doing what I should be doing. And the issue here, just as it is with us, it's not so much about the distraction itself. Let's not beat Martha up just because she was serving and cleaning. Like, that's not the root issue here. The root issue is that she has come to the point where she's missing the important because of the urgent. That's the root issue here. It's not that she was serving and Jesus was in the house. It's that she's exchanging the urgent for the important. And how often do we do that? Someone once said, I want to read you this quote. I think it's really fitting. Talking about distraction and focus. It says, our attention often runs to what's important to us. So distraction reveals what we love. Think about that for a minute. Let that set in. Our attention shifts to what we deem important. So the distractions in our life actually reveal maybe what we've grown to love. Whether that's something we really want to say that we love or not, that's something maybe God wants to wrestle with us about. And then Martha, so we see her behaviors, but she begins to verbalize what she believes is most important. And Jesus, when he was being, Jesus usually spoke the most harsh to the most religious people in the room. Have you ever noticed that? If you study through the New Testament, he was really harsh toward the religious people who thought they all had it all figured out, because they were really busy with their religion and they were misunderstanding what God really desired. And so Jesus, in this one exchange with some of the Pharisees and the religious leaders, he calls them a brood of vipers, and he says some, well, I was like, whoa, okay, Jesus calling them a brood of vipers. And but then I love what he says at the end of verse 34 in Matthew 12. He says, for out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So for you and I, if we step back and we think for a moment, how much of our conversation in our lives is rooted in a love for Jesus? If out of the heart the mouth speaks, how much are we talking about Jesus? Could it be that there's not a lot of Jesus conversation coming out of us? And again, if this is your first time here, when I say Jesus conversation, I'm not talking about taking your Bible and thumping every person down the street, telling them they're going to die and go to hell and they need to get their life together. Like, that's not what I'm talking about. We're talking about being normal people who love Jesus, know Jesus, and as he gives us the opportunity, man, we just speak about the goodness of Jesus. And if that so happens to be in the middle of somebody's tension where, yeah, their sin's breaking them down and they're starting to realize, yeah, then we need to speak a little harder truth into that, but we do that with grace, we do that with love. There's a way that we can do that that doesn't shun people away from the good news of Jesus. But I step back and I say, how much do we really even talk about Jesus? And I wonder if our lack of Jesus conversation is because our lives are so distracted that we don't really have much relationship with Jesus. Because I think if we were madly in love with Jesus and we weren't so distracted by everything else around us and we understood what God really desired, he would probably flow out of our conversations a little bit more naturally. Now look, none of us are perfect. We're all busy. We're all distracted. Let's just agree on that. But hopefully at the same time, let's just agree that a little more Jesus in our life would not be a bad thing. And that would probably begin to impact our conversations and the way that we interact with people at our workplace. Can you imagine how that might change some of the tone of the conversations in your own home? If there was just a little more Jesus in our lives. If we weren't so distracted by the urgent all the time that we could live at a pace where we see what's important. And we see that showing up here with Mary or with Martha. And so not only is distracted busyness going to cause us to misunderstand what God desires, but we understand another thing about this is that our fiercest opposition to a passionate pursuit of Jesus is going to be that distracted busyness. The hardest opposition that's going to come through is that distracted busyness to really knowing Jesus. It's going to show up. It's going to creep up. Now, here's what I'm not, because I know how we can filter these type of things. You can hear this as saying, okay, this is the guilt trip. I need to get up 30 minutes earlier and start praying more, reading my Bible more. I don't know. Maybe you do. But that's not, again, that's a behavior change. Got to let God work on the heart underneath that. Because if you just try to behavior change this thing, you're going to get about a week out of it, maybe two, and then you'll start feeling the urgency again. This is much deeper than just a behavior change. It's a pace and a pattern and a rhythm to our life. And here's why distracted busyness is so important. Why I say it's the fiercest opposition to a passionate pursuit of Jesus is because I believe we should live our lives centered around Jesus. Jesus does not want a Sunday version of you only. He wants a daily relationship with you, not a Sunday-only version. And so if we're to live with Jesus at the center of our lives, if he's the centerpiece, but yet we're constantly distracted from him by everything else, imagine the ripple effect that then starts to happen in all the areas of our lives. If we're continually distracted by our busyness, how does that impact relationships? Stress, strain, lack of communication. Choosing the urgent over what's most important. What about fear, worry? Anybody struggle with those things? If you're continually distracted and busy, absent from the presence of God and really hearing his voice speak in your life, imagine what that's going to do to your level of worry and anxiety and stress. What about sin? You know what I found in my life? If I am focusing on the urgent, I become much more vulnerable to sin in my life. I'm apathetic to it even at times. But when I'm not choosing the urgent and I'm living at a pace where I'm aware of God's presence, he convicts me. He shows me my pride. He shows me how I maybe I'm not pleasing him in the conversations, in the tone, in the way that I'm even leading in my own house. That conviction is there. When was the last time God got a hold of your heart and just convicted you over an attitude? Look, it's easy to check the box and say, I haven't done this week. I haven't done that. And we have all these behavior things that we look at, but God's wanting to work underneath the surface, and our distracted busyness will keep us from hearing God's conviction in our life. What about when we take a good thing and seemingly turn it into a God thing without even realizing it? That's distracted busyness. What about when you think all God wants for you is just showing up at church on Sunday? That's distracted busyness. This is me fitting God into my schedule on my time where it works for me. Live for the important instead of being distracted by the urgent. How do we stay dialed into that? Well, let me share with you a couple scriptures. We see in the midst of Martha thinking she's right. She's got all this focus. She's just doing what she's always done. Because underneath the surface here, we begin to kind of look and we can see what Mary shows us here. But for us, a couple things. We regularly ask God to examine our motives. We ask God to pierce into our hearts. I love Psalm 139, 23 and 24. It says, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. See if there be any grievous way in me, and lead me in the way of the everlasting. So regularly ask God to speak into our motives, to examine our motives. Make time for relationships that build you up, that point you to walk with grace and truth. I love Hebrews 10, 23 through 25. It says, let us hold fast to the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us, and there's us in verse 23, here's us again in verse 24. It says, let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together as the habit of some, but encouraging one another. And all the more you'll see the day drawing near. We see these things that begin to show up. And we have to decide, am I going to be so caught up by the urgent that I forget about the important and what it looks like to really chase after Jesus, to know him? And then I can't do that alone. I need to be in a relationship with other people that are encouraging me, and that we live for the important instead of being distracted by the urgent. So Martha, assuming she's doing everything right, she actually tells Jesus, like, hey, won't you back me up on this? I know we got it. I know I'm doing what I'm supposed to. Why don't you back me up? And Jesus gives her a pretty harsh reply. Here's what happens. Sometimes we get so distracted and so busy that we come before God and ask him to bless something that he actually has no intentions of blessing. And he just wants to say to us, look, I love you, I really do, but what you're doing is not the best thing you need to be doing. That's hard to hear sometimes. If God spoke into you and said, nope, actually, wrong direction. Proverbs tells us that there's a way that we think in our minds that is right, but in the end, it actually leads to destruction. The most dangerous trap we get in is being busy because we stop making room to hear the voice of God in our life because we assume I've already got it planned out and figured out and this is what I'm going to do. So how do we respond to this? Well, let's look at Mary for a moment. We can talk a lot about Martha in this and what she does wrong. Let's look at Mary, because Jesus, in his response, Martha's like, back me up on this. She's like, nope, actually, Mary's doing the thing that is right. And I'm not going to take that away from her. And so here's kind of what we see here. It's the power of you saying no so that you can be able to say yes to something else. So by saying no to less essential things, you can say yes to the most essential things. You can say no to what matters less and what's seemingly urgent. And you can begin to say yes to what actually matters most, to those important things in your life. It's kind of weird if you follow the shift of the word no in our lives and how it progresses. Like when you have a toddler or a little kid and they start learning the power of the word no. It's like, you know, mom, dad tells them, like, I need you to go clean your room. I need you to do this. And they're like, nope, not going to do it. And like as a parent, you're like, what? You just told me no? We're going to talk about this. You don't tell me no, right? And we get into this conversation, start finger pointing, all this stuff. It's like, you don't use the word no. I'll tell you to do something, you're going to do it, right? And it's like, it's there and it's no. So they get this like, oh, okay, well, I can't say no, can't say no. And we try to build that in and it doesn't necessarily work. But fast forward, now as adults, it's like, and I'm guilty of this too, but I know so many of us, like, we can't tell anybody no. It's like somebody calls and they're like, hey, will you do this? And somebody says, hey, will you do this? Hey, can you do this? Hey, will you do this for me? Can you be here? Can you be there? You want to do this? Why don't you get your kids in this? Get your kids in that? Go here, go there. And it's like, yes, 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 yes. And then you look around and you're like, oh my goodness, what have I done? How do I get out of this? And what's changed? What word did you never use? No. Think for a moment about where you're at right now. Back up in time, maybe a year, can you identify a few places where looking back now you wish you'd have said no instead of yes? You feel that for a moment? Here's the thing. You may be in a position where you could, maybe God leads you, you can start backing out of that no. You gotta honor Jesus in that, transition well. Maybe you need to let God lead you through that. Maybe you're just in something and you're just going to have to be in it. And that's kind of the consequences of our lack of saying no sometimes. But moving forward, let God give you wisdom about what you say yes to. Because there's so many things that are going to distract you and try to get you busy and get you focused on what feels urgent in the moment. And one of the greatest things you can do is to know what you're living for and who you're living for and be able to value the power of your no and your yes. And in the moment here, we see Mary valuing the power of her no. She could have just said, okay, Martha, like you tell me what to do. I'll clean the bathroom. I'll scrub the toilets, whatever you want. Just tell me what to do. I'm here. But she doesn't even go that route because she knows what matters most is the Savior of the world is in her house. She's going to sit at his feet and just hang out and just be there. And I know you can look at this and you can be like, there is no way I can just hang out and just sit and do nothing. Like, that's not going to happen. Again, focus on the principle here. There's always going to be something to distract you, but when does Jesus get that time? When are you just opening up your heart to hear his voice? And I say that not to make you feel guilty if that's been absent, but to invite you into that kind of relationship with him because that's what he wants. How do you get through difficulty? It's because you're learning to sit at the feet of Jesus and just let him speak into you. How do you know how to deal with that coworker that's just driving you up a wall and you pray privately that they would get fired? Like, how do you deal with that? You learn to sit at the feet of Jesus. And you let him change your heart toward them rather than just asking God to take him out. You let him work on you. But you see, it's much easier just to put the focus on everybody else, right? Mary just comes and sits at the feet of Jesus. And Jesus says, yep, this is what we all need more of. And in these short little verses, Jesus gives this powerful reminder to just be. Just be. There are things, look, there are things that you're going to have to do. I get it. I'm there. We've got two kids. Many of you have kids, grandkids. Like, things don't stop. I get it. It's busy. Got two people working. Like, it's school, sports, whatever, school activity. Like, I get it. We're busy. And some of those things are not going to go away. But what are you doing to allow God to breathe into that? He's not saying, like, hibernate yourself and go live in a cave and just sit and stare up at the sky for 8 hours a day. That's not the invitation here. But it is to let him breathe into all that and begin to change your perspective on how you see those things. Because here's what I found. If you're doing what God wants you to do, even though you're busy, you can still do it without being distracted. Does that make sense? Like, sometimes when you're doing the wrong things, you feel busy and distracted. But you can be busy and still be living for the glory of Jesus. It's just all about, are you being busy about the right things? Mary shows us the difference in contrast with Martha. So I want you to just begin to think, how can you just be with Jesus? And let that ripple out from there. And I want you to begin to think, what would it look like this week for you to just be with your spouse? What would that look like? That's why we're offering you a free date night in less than 2 weeks. Because we as a church, we value this. You've got task after task after task. And I tell our leadership team every week it comes up somehow, it's people over task in this church. There's task, there's things that got to get done. You have things you have to get done. But at the end of the day, there's got to be some point where you just say, okay, I got to stop with the urgent for the moment so I can focus on what's important. So we're trying to help you with that as a church, at least to give you 3 hours. We can't keep your kids forever. Sorry. But that'll help a little bit. And I'll tell you what, if you'll take advantage of that, I know if you'll just, and you might be like, I don't even know what to do. Like, just go get a cup of coffee maybe and talk. Like, just enjoy the space. You don't have to know what to do. I believe if your heart's right and you just desire it and you'll prioritize it, that's the thing, you got to prioritize it. February 14th, not this Thursday, but next Thursday, 5:30, 8:30. And don't feel bad about dropping your kids off at 5:30 on the dot. I will be in the parking lot, probably at 5:25, waiting to make sure, like, I can drop them. I love my kids, but, like, I love my wife. And, like, hey, men and women in the room, husbands and wives, you remember the order of family that God's called us to? One day those kids are going to move up, they're going to move out, and they're going to be gone. You know who's still going to be there, hopefully? Your spouse. And I say hopefully because if you don't do the work now, seemingly letting yourself get caught up in the urgent year after year after year, you're going to miss what's important. And so my challenge to you is just be with your spouse. If you got kids in the house, just be with your kids. Just be with your kids. Put your phone down and just be with your kids. Just love them. You got a friend, you got a family member that's hurting, just be with them. That's important. And if the urgent continues to drive your life, it won't happen. You won't spend the time with them because you'll feel increasingly urgent. And I say these things to you knowing right now there's people going through my mind that I really need to get on the ball and I need to spend some time with. Just be. Live for the important instead of being distracted by the urgent. And then can you imagine how that would start to impact us, even when we gather on Sunday, as we interact with each other, how that might change the tone of our conversation if we knew that we were living for what was most important. If you would just bow your heads just for a moment. I'm going to ask our team to come up. They're going to get ready to lead us in a final song. And I want you just to begin to reflect and just ask God, what does this mean for me? What does this mean for me? How do I begin to just to live for what's important? We're going to unpack a lot of the areas of our lives that then get distracted by our busyness and kind of the impact of that, but then also how we get victory in that. So we're going to step into this over the next few weeks. It's going to be fun, but it's going to be challenging too. But just right now, just thinking about this broad general idea. What's God saying to you right now in your heart? What's he showing you? What's that step? And then my challenge to you is just obey. Just obey. Just listen to his voice. He knows your situation better than you do. Maybe it starts with a relationship with him. Maybe you've been a religious person. Have you ever really stepped into a relationship with Jesus? That's what's most important. Not just playing church. Being in relationship with him. We'd love to meet you right there in that space. If that's something God's working on your heart, let me know. Let me know after the service. You can put that on your connection card. Grab somebody that you know and say, hey, maybe I really don't know Jesus, but I want to know him. The God, the creator of this universe, wants like that kind of relationship with me? Yes, he does. That's why we sang, come as you are. Busy, distracted, come as you are. And when you come, there's a simple response, and that's what we're going to declare in this last song. The response is pretty simple. It's this. It's, Lord, I need you. I just need you. I'm busy. I'm distracted. I hear the words. I hear what we've talked about this morning, but I don't even know where to start. Lord, I need you. And let me tell you why. He is faithful enough to show up and to begin to speak into your life if you'll just listen. And if we can come alongside you in any way as a church, we got people that would just love to do that. You just got to let us know. Let us know how we can help you. Let me pray. And after I pray, I just want you to feel led to respond however you feel led. If that means just sitting in your seat and praying, if that means standing to your feet and declaring this song from the depths of who you are, as your cry out to God, then you do that. You let the Spirit lead you in this moment. Let this be personal between you and God. Don't worry about anybody else in this room. Don't worry about how you sound if you sing out. If you stand or you sit, don't worry about what anybody else thinks. You let God move your heart in this moment. Let's pray. God, we thank you for your patience. I thank you for your grace. God, as I share these words, God, and you just remind me of how I'm a work in progress. And every single one of us, God, we truly need you. Thank you. Thank you for when we blow it. Thank you for when we mess up. Thank you for when we let, God, busyness take over. God, thank you for just loving us through those things. But thank you for loving us enough that you convict us and you grab our hearts and you invite us to know you more. And in return, we get to know people more. May we live for you. Speak to us in these moments. May we respond, not just emotionally in this moment. May it not just be an urgent thing we do here. May it be an important thing that we do, knowing there's a lot at stake in our lives, in our families, in our marriages, with our kids, with our neighbors, with our coworkers, in our communities. Speak to our hearts. Thank you, God. Thank you for your son, Jesus. I thank you that he was not distracted. When he hung on the cross for our sins, there was so much, God, that he could have been distracted by. The people casting lots at his feet. The thief on the other side that said, why don't you just get yourself off the cross? But yet he hung there and he died for us. And I thank you, Father, for that. That he focused on what mattered most and what was important instead of the urgent. God, I thank you for that. May we follow in his footsteps. We love you. We thank you, God, for loving us first. And it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.